in 59, we had Prohibition. We have lots of moonshine.
Oh, yeah.
Why don't you explain for the youth who will be listening, what is moonshine?
Well, moonshine is illegal homemade whiskey made by the shine of the moon. You made it at night so that supposedly you couldn't be found, but smoke would come up out of the woods. Moonshine in eastern Oklahoma, particularly in the hills of eastern Oklahoma, was very popular. It's kind of like down in Krebs, so you used to have what they call chalk beer. It wasn't legal. It's legal today, but they had chalk beer. It comes from Choctaw beer. It's kind of funny. It's made in an Italian community, but the name chalk came from an Indian word, Choctaw. But in territorial days, liquor was legal. We became a state. Our constitution prohibited. So on November 16, 1907, they were pouring whiskey down drains and all that sort of stuff. So we went through all these prohibition days in Oklahoma, but people were making illegal moonshine, hooch, whiskey, whatever you want to call it. If you were in politics and you advocated repeal of prohibition, you generally lost. Bryce Baggett, a brilliant legislator from Oklahoma County, ran for governor, running for repeal of prohibition, and ran third. Although you could easily buy illegal. Now, let's go back. You had moonshine, homemade whiskey, but you also had real whiskey that was snuck in by bootleggers from across state lines. It was appalling to me that bootleggers would be prominent citizens in a community, and it was illegal. And my point was that if it's illegal and everybody knows where you can buy it, that means that the sheriff knows where you can buy it, and that means that the sheriff and the law enforcement officers are ignoring the law. And if they're ignoring that law, what other laws are they ignoring? I think if you have a law, you're supposed to enforce it. I basically supported repeal of prohibition, but as lieutenant governor, I didn't have anything to do with it, so that wasn't really an issue with me. So Howard Edmondson, who was running for governor, didn't want to say, I'm for repeal of prohibition, because politically he thought that would hurt him. So he took a clever political stance. You vote for me, we'll either be wet or dry. I'm not saying that we're going to be wet. I'm not saying we're going to be dry. But I'm telling you that whatever we are, that will be the enforced law. There was an old saying in Oklahoma that the devout religious people who opposed liquor and the bootleggers would become friends to kill any law where you'd have legal liquor. But Edmondson said, if you vote for me, I'll submit to a vote of the people the question of where wet and dry. And once the people tell me how they want it, if they say wet, we'll be wet, we'll have legal liquor. If they say dry, we will not have bootleggers or moonshine. And he got elected. Like I said, he carried 76 counties.
You were asked that question, too, as you're running for lieutenant governor.
Yeah.
What was your answer to it?
I would be that I would support the same position that he did. Yeah.
But you presided over it in the legislature, the debate.
That's probably the first time the lieutenant governor really was president of the state Senate. You know, we say that the lieutenant governor is president of the state Senate, meaning he's the president of the Senate and presides over joint session. But the Senate doesn't want the lieutenant governor there presiding. So they have what they call the president pro tem. They're saying to the lieutenant governor, go get lost. We don't want you presiding here. I hadn't presided much as lieutenant governor, just ceremoniously. But about 3 days before they were going to vote on repeal of prohibition, the leader of the Senate, who was supporting the governor, Harold Garvin from Pauls Valley, and Howard Edmondson, then the governor, called me and they asked me to preside over the debate for repeal of prohibition. And I said, whoa, that's going to be tough because they don't want the lieutenant governor there. And they said, well, we want you there because we know that you will just preside under the rules. You're not there with an issue. So what we want is somebody who sits there and presides over this debate that understands the rule of parliamentary procedure but has no issue in whether it passes or fails. So for about 3 days, I stayed up basically all night rereading my Robert's Rules of Order, rereading my Senate rules so that I could preside, so that I could rule on motions, amendments, votes, time limits, that I could do all that stuff. And they did not want me to give up the chair to somebody else. So as long as I sat there, nobody else could come and preside. And if I went away, they'd have to have somebody else. And they weren't sure that a fellow senator could tell the other senators what to do. I think I sat there 6 or 7 hours without food, drink, or restroom. I got several notes saying, you got the strongest kidneys of anybody we've ever seen in Oklahoma politics. But I presided. The legislature voted to submit it to a vote of the people. The people voted for repeal of prohibition, and I supported it. I support the law, you know, and the rest is history. We've changed the law several times.
Were there prominent families who you believe became wealthy through bootlegging?
Not that I know of. I mean, there were prominent families that bootlegged, but I can tell you this, that growing up, I can remember the year that the most prominent bootlegger in McAllister was the Citizen of the Year for the American Legion, and I thought it was ridiculous. But that's one of those laws that you have that is the law, but nobody wants it to be the law, the majority of the people. And so they just kind of reached this agreement. Let me tell you an interesting thing. I went to Mississippi one time. I went to Biloxi, Mississippi, and Mississippi was dry. I was speaking at a convention there. I drove over from New Orleans to Biloxi, and there were flashing neon lines that says whiskey, liquor, bar. I said, this state is dry. And I asked one of my legislative friends there in Mississippi, and he said that they reached a gentleman's agreement among the northern Mississippians who wanted it to be dry and the southern Mississippians along the coast who wanted it to be wet. And they passed a tax on illegal sales of liquor. This is a state law in the 1950s that the state tax commission would come into these liquor stores in Biloxi, do an inventory of their sales, and fine them, but it wasn't a misdemeanor or a felony. They just fined them, kind of like a speeding ticket. So they reached an agreement in the legislature, you don't make me have to have liquor sold in my county, I won't make you quit selling liquor in your county. Now, we weren't quite like that in Oklahoma, but it wasn't just us. It was all around the country where the wets and the dries would reach an agreement. And that's the way it was in Oklahoma. You could have your bootleggers as long as you didn't have legal sales. Now, the reason the bootleggers were popular and the reason a lot of people who drank didn't want to have legal liquor is that you didn't pay any tax on it, no sales tax. You could get it delivered by cab, and you could get it 24 hours a day. I thought that was ridiculous, and that's why I, as a legislator, supported legal liquor with a law that you could enforce. To me, that's the secret, not whether you sell or don't sell liquor, but whether or not you have an enforceable law. And I would tell the legislature when I was governor, don't send me a law that's unenforceable. I'll veto it.